Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Happy Friday, guys. Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 42, Money's True Purpose. I hope you had an awesome week, but let's dive right into today's episode. Today, we're joined by Nikki Puri, a director at Puri Kassar, a Swiss assets management company where clients are individuals who have an ultra-high net worth. As he gained more experience, he realized there was a gap for the middle-income individual who didn't have access to the same investments that individuals with more money do. Out of his desire to help, he created the Duomo Initiative, a division that is committed to really mentoring and helping clients understand the financial markets and trade independently using some of these unique methods that have been developed at Puri Kassar. We talk about his experiences also in the financial industry and his thoughts on what money really is and what it means to all of us, as well as a sneak peek into the Duomo Initiative and also his new project called Success Academy. Head over to www.duomoinitiative.com to hear more about what he's doing and check out how you too can learn and become an investor yourself. Here now is Nikki Puri. Hey, Nikki, what's going on? Welcome to The Positivity Effect.
Hey, thanks for having me on here. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. And why don't you just take a quick second, let everybody know where you're calling in from.
Well, I'm calling in from sunny London, which it's absolutely not at the moment. It's miserable and grey and very cold, but it's okay. Everyone's always upbeat in London, notoriously upbeat all the time, not moaning ever.
We get a lot of grey skies over in New York, too. And now what? I always forget the time difference. What is the time right now for you?
It's 10 past four in the afternoon, so it's just getting to the end of work day for most people, about the time when it starts getting dark early and a bit colder now as well. So, yeah.
And I really appreciate it. You know, thank you so much. As you know, your day is winding down, and I really appreciate you jumping on today, because today is it's an important topic. And, you know, we're going to be talking about finances, personal finances. We'll be talking about investing, but the way that we're tying it in, you know, is really just how our finances really relate to our overall health, you know. And we're, you know, tomorrow we're going to have you back on, Nikki, and we're going to be talking about the Duomo Initiative and this new project you just launched, Success Academy. But, you know, why don't you just take a quick moment, you know, to tell everybody about what you do on a regular basis. And I want to get into how, you know, how you got into it, but also just how, you know, we really relate, you know, when you connect with people, how you relate that to their overall well-being, the finances.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, just before I go on to what we're doing now, my background has always been in banking in London. And in particular, I've been working in the private banking and wealth management industry. So working with very wealthy people, people with sort of a liquid net wealth of over £1 million. And in particular, I was working in a sports and entertainment client group. So it was working with celebrities, sort of the household names, people that are sports stars, film actors, everything over here and actually around the world as well. So that was where I got involved in finance. Now, more recently, starting in 2012, I set up an investment management company in Zurich in Switzerland. And during this time, we developed certain methods for investing in the market and trading the market that were very effective and consistent. So it was always our dream during this time to be able to provide these sort of what we'd say wealth building returns to ordinary people as well. But the way that the financial regulations are, it's not possible to offer those sort of returns as an investment fund. Mm-hmm. So in 2014, we launched the Duomo Initiative, which was our opportunity to allow people to learn how to do it for themselves. So people that have maybe small amounts of savings or are still in the process of saving some money can actually take that money and use it in the markets to build more wealth for themselves or to provide some more income, to provide financial stability for themselves, which is not available anywhere else.
Yeah, that's really interesting too, you know, how
you took all that knowledge and you realized that there was a way, you know, even though it wasn't foreseeable in the beginning, you found a way to make this more accessible, you know, for the middle class. And thinking about most people, thinking about, I hate to say the word average, but you know, if we fall in that middle class, is it an epidemic? You know, when we think of investing in having enough money to take care of ourselves as we get older, that just so many people aren't thinking about that, you know, early on in their life?
Well, first of all, I mean, using the term average, I like to say that I'm average as well. You know, I'm an ordinary guy, so I haven't come from any sort of privileged background, which means that I can relate to the people that I'm also teaching how to invest now. And I think the problem is that up until a certain amount of wealth, like when you're extremely wealthy, you have advisors who tell you what to do with your money. So you can completely leave it in the hands of your accountants, your financial advisor, and they'll tell you what the best things to do are. Whereas below a certain level, obviously, if you've got a few thousand pounds savings or, you know, a few hundred dollars, really nothing too big, then there's no one to turn to. So you're sort of looking around for advice or picking up things from hearsay or what's in the papers. And so in sort of our parents' generation or our grandparents' generation, it was always that you built up some sort of amount of cash that you kind of keep at home. The banks are almost like in your neighborhood, your friends, that you can trust them, that they're going to lend you money to build a house or to do what you need to do. Whereas as time's gone on, it's become more and more of a big industry. Then it's more now that you kind of rely on what you see on TV, which is adverts, and it's people promoting credit cards and loans and that kind of thing. And obviously we had the financial crisis, which was the peak of all of the problems that were caused by this sort of mass generation of credit that caused a lot of problems for people. And now we're in a situation where a lot of people have debts because of things that have happened before. They don't necessarily have people to advise them about what to do to get out of debt properly, and there's nowhere for them to turn. So it's absolutely like an epidemic. I think people are sort of thirsty for some sort of advice or knowledge or something that someone can provide for them, but there's just not enough sources for them to get that from.
Do you think also that there is that negative connotation towards money? You know, and I appreciate that you said that you say that word average. It's not a dirty word. Like you said, you're just like everyone else. And you said you didn't come from a privileged background, and myself, like I'm very blessed to have been raised in a great family. But you know, in terms of money, you know, it wasn't flowing in the door, and it's just something that, you know, we're always striving for more money. That word money, you know, I think for so many of us can be a dirty word. And why is that connotation there? You know, why do people feel like it's such a dirty thing to talk about, and nobody wants to. You know, I think it's almost sometimes success can be seen as a bad thing, that, you know, when you reach out and you try to make more money, and when you really realize that when you start to make more and accumulate more, it's not about, you know, obviously keeping it. It's about providing more value back to the world. And, you know, thinking of that age old phrase, you know, it's not it's the love of money, not the love of making more money.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is exactly right. I think it's the problem with money, and the reason it becomes sort of this dirty topic or this thing that people are not comfortable with, is because it makes people feel inadequate. So when you have money, if you take money away, it's very difficult for you to compare yourself to other people. Like me or another guy in my neighborhood, he might be, you know, a doctor, and I might be someone just working in a shop nearby. Now, you can compare that your jobs are different, and maybe one seen as more respectable than another in the community, but really you can get along and be fine. You know, it's like you're still both humans. But as soon as you put money into the picture, then suddenly there's this ranking system of someone's got more money than someone else, which it's all a psychological thing at the end of the day. But what this does for us is it creates two mindsets when you don't have money, is that either there's obviously the people that are quite comfortable with not having much money and it's fine. But I think it's important for us to embrace being average, because otherwise you get these two mindsets, which one of them is that you want to sort of, we call it over here, I don't know if you have the expression in America, it's keeping up with the Joneses.
So you
spend big to kind of show that you have a certain status. So you might be working in a local shop, and, you know, it's there's nothing wrong with that. But if a guy's earning more money than you, of course he can afford to spend more. If you're trying to keep up with that, you're putting yourself in a bad situation. And the other mindset is that, you know, you're always then, because you see money as the status symbol, you're working harder to try and make up for that. You know, you're focusing on the making of the money instead of the process of doing what you enjoy and stuff like that. So when you do actually have the money, then you don't feel fulfilled. So what you do instead is start spending the money. So you get the situations where people spend as much as they earn and they never actually have that comfort factor because their outgoings are matching what's coming into their bank account. So it's very much a situation of, you know, people see it as this status symbol to have money, and it's a way of making people in the end feel inadequate. And therefore it's something that people don't like to compare against, don't like to talk about. I don't know if you've been in a situation where you're in a workplace and people feel extremely uncomfortable talking about how much they earn. You know, not the done thing. You're not meant to talk about it. And it's this whole thing of comparing yourself to someone else when really you should just be focusing on what you're doing and whether if what you're earning is representing the amount of work you're putting in and the amount of enjoyment you're getting out of it.
Right, right. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. It's just like, I guess from just my own development as a human being, and as I start to, you know, make more money myself and start to grow my career, it's realizing that it's definitely nice. You have the goals. You have to have goals. You know, it's nice to think about physical things. Maybe you're looking to get a new car, or you want to move into a nicer house, or, you know, especially financial safety, making sure that there's money in the bank for saving for those rainy days, you know? But really, for me, it's just that thought of, if I keep coming from that place of positivity, if I keep coming from that place of gratitude, the more that I earn, if you so to speak, the more that comes in, that it frees me up to really start to provide more to others. You know, whether it's providing just for my own family directly, or helping friends, or helping my community as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I think, right, if we keep coming back to that place, you start to put more of a positive spin on why you're earning more, instead of just, like you said, you start accumulating this mass of it, and then there's no meaning behind it. There's no purpose.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, it's almost become a bit of people think it's an urban myth now that if you make a lot of money, but you don't focus on the other important aspects of your life, then you're not going to be ending up feeling happy and fulfilled. You know, like you said, positivity and, you know, having that gratitude is a big part of it, because if you're doing it for the sake of making money, when you have that situation where you're comfortable, you suddenly have more time to focus on the other areas of your life and realize that there are a lot of other problems there. If you're focusing on building yourself along the way, and as a result of that, you're making money because, you know, as you develop your own mindset, your own, you know, physical well-being and doing what you enjoy, then you're going to be putting more passion into what you're doing. You're going to be more dedicated to what you're doing. And as a result of that, you're going to have a clearer mind, which will lead to you accumulating money. You're not going to be spending money on things you don't need, because, you know, I've been in a situation where I used to work for, this is back when I was at university and I did an internship, and I was working directly for the CEO of one of the biggest automotive companies in the world. I won't name who it was, but basically everyone got this company car. People at a certain level got a company car. It's a luxury car. And so it became like a competition then of who would get the certain model of car that was better than someone else. And I got good friends with someone that was on the board of directors there. And we'd be out one night having a meal or something, and he'd just look at me and say, you know, all these things like having to wear this nice suit and having this nice car, it doesn't mean anything to me. The only reason I do this or buy these things is because I know that the person next to me or the person that I'm sitting opposite in the boardroom is also judging me based on those things as well. But I don't enjoy this stuff. And it becomes wow, almost like a competition where it's almost like detrimental to themselves rather than positive. Like earning more money and buying these nice things is not a positive. It's actually creating this sort of negative cycle where they're constantly comparing and constantly having to do this one-upmanship, and they don't get the chance to enjoy it.
Wow, that's a really, you know, that's a powerful conversation and statement too. Like when you were having that conversation with him, did you recognize, you know, the power behind that statement at the time? Like, or were you too also kind of struggling with those things, and it wasn't until, you know, in hindsight, you know, it's 2020, what was it until later that you realized, wow, you know, that I can't believe, you know, really when we had that conversation, what was really said there?
It's funny actually. So obviously this was right at the start of my career. I mean, even before my career started in a way, because it was during my time at university. But this guy, you know, we got quite close and talking about these kind of things all the time. And he went from being a mechanic, just using the spanner on cars and stuff, not doing anything complicated, not having to use his brain, like literally being the lowest in the company, all the way up to being on the board of directors because he was so driven in what he was doing. And he got to the stage where he was on the board of directors. There was nowhere else for him to go because he wasn't going to be the CEO. He wasn't in that area of the company where he'd become the CEO. So that was like, he reached the peak of his career and he was mid 30s and he was thinking to himself now, like, where do I go from here? And actually now it's, I think it's now will be almost over 10 years since that conversation and since my time there. And he's now settled down with a family and he's much more focused now on spending time with his son. So rather than he used to go on nights out or go and spend money and, you know, flash the cash all the time, instead now he's settled down with his family. He's got a wife and one kid and he's very happy doing that. And it's just funny how once you break yourself away from the process of constantly chasing money, you start to realize what was important to you to start with. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with making money, because of course, you know, money allows us to do as many things as we want to, but you find the most problems with people that are constantly focused on a price tag of something or constantly focused on the money rather than actually what they're trying to do it for. And that's the same with the people we're teaching how to trade, as well as people I've met in my personal life and people that I've met when I was working in a bank managing wealthy people's money. You know, even today, when people sign up on our website, one of the first emails that I send out with the first lessons, the main message that we say is that money is not everything. That if you want to do this, you have to decide what it is that you're trying to achieve. And if it is that you're trying to achieve more stability for your family and more opportunities to go on like family holidays, to spend more time with your kids, then the answer is not going to be working 12 hours a day trading. So you need to find the right balance for you. So that might be that you're sacrificing making more money. You might make less money as a result, but at least you're going to be actually doing what you want to be doing. So don't get clouded by earning, you know, a certain amount of money. Be more focused on the actual thing that makes you happy in life.
You know, and that's a powerful message, that's the way that you really start the relationship off with your clients. And, you know, thinking about just everything that you're doing, Nick, you know, there's so much momentum right now and mm-hmm. and you're really on top of how, you know, you're reaching out to clients. And like you said, you help people that have a high net worth, you help people that don't have, you know, a really big net worth, and you're reaching out and connecting with so many people.
Yeah.
You know, was there a time also in your own life, you know, just reflecting that you didn't have that focus and like, you know, what was your mindset at the time and then how did you really shift and come out of that?
Well, I think most people that go into the finance industry do it because of wanting to achieve either money or power, you know, having some sort of influence over situations. And I think it's, although I've always been driven to be my own boss, to have my own company and to help people, ultimately there's a time in my life where I was focused on just getting ahead. It's not even about necessarily money or anything, but just getting ahead of everyone else, you know, being in the rat race and really dedicating myself to the race aspect of it and not actually to the work I was doing. And so starting my investment management company, we're talking like when you get to investing money on behalf of people, you're talking big money because you're taking potentially huge fees from huge amounts of money that you're investing. So there was a time when I got stuck into the whole mindset of it. And I tell you, I got extremely ill at one point as well, back in 2012, from working night and day because I knew that every moment that I was sleeping was a moment that I could have been making money and doing more. So I didn't sleep much and I spent 6 weeks doing a lot of trading. And I talk about this in the education we do for traders as well, as a warning to them. In that 6 weeks, I made almost £500,000 from hardly anything to start with. So it was a lot of money, but I got extremely ill. I was actually in Switzerland and went to the doctor, and the symptoms were similar to someone that would have diabetes, but I didn't have diabetes. And this was as a result of stress and pressure that you put on yourself trying to achieve something that is just not what you want to do. And it wasn't until after this that, you know, relationships start breaking down, things start breaking down around you, you realize that having like a Maserati is not, you know, what's making you happy. Then you start to reverse it a little bit and think to yourself, okay, right, what do I really want to do? And that's when we got back to what our original mission statement was, which was helping people. And I tell you that I have never had a day of stress like I had, even on an average day during that period. Even at my most stressful day now, I don't even have that much stress. It's like two completely different lives. So I've seen the good and the bad of how money can affect you. And both, like, when I was growing up, we didn't have much money as well. So, you know,
so I've seen both, the good and bad. Both sides of the coin,
So I can completely appreciate whatever stage someone's at in their you know, mission in whatever they're trying to achieve. I can understand both sides of the coin, and I can see the good and bad of both. And I think it's so important to get a good balance.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that you brought up about your health, you know, and all of us are striving to make more money so that we can make more impact, you know, on the world around us and our families, our friends. But then, you know, really, truly, health is the true wealth of our life, you know, and you could just hear it in your voice that you are a centered person and mm-hmm. that you definitely, you know, even though I don't know you personally, you could hear it that you work into things into your life, like having time for yourself, time to relax, time to have mental space and clarity. And especially when, you know, you're doing something like you're doing where you're helping other people with their finances, you have to have that, I'm sure, right? You need,
absolutely,
you need mental clarity because you're now helping other people with the problems that they're struggling with. And if you're so caught up with everything in your own life, it's very, very hard to mentor to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, through the stuff that I do with the Duomo Initiative and also Your Success Academy, then I talk to a lot of people on a daily basis. And, you know, people follow me on Twitter and things like that. Or I used to do Snapchat, which I'm not doing at the moment, but people would be surprised at how many hours I was working. And I'd get messages from people, and this is now, like, after the shift, okay? So this is while I'm in a healthy state now. Mm. And people send me messages worried about how much I'm working and saying that you're going to make yourself ill and things like that. And what I say is that if you're working on something where you are 100% sure that it's correct for you and it's not providing you any stress because it's what you want to do, then you can work more hours and you're not going to get as stressed as if you're working harder at something you don't want to do.
Yes.
So it's about getting your motivations correct. I can work, literally, I can pull an all-nighter nowadays, which I wouldn't do because it's not exactly the healthiest thing to do. But I could pull a whole nighter if I know that what I'm working on at that time is going to be of benefit to people, is going to be beneficial to our progress in the business in a way that I want to. Whereas before, like I said, when I was doing all-nighters or working all the hours under the sun, doing the, you know, focusing on the wrong things, just focusing on the money side of things, it provided too much pressure. And with teaching people the finance, and in particular, because obviously in the past I've dealt with people's personal finance with working in banking, but nowadays it's more about generating money, so from trading. The main thing that stops people, because it's true that I think it's over 90% of people that trade actually end up losing money. And the reason is that there's these mental barriers that they need to get over. And so the mental barrier is always quite similar, that they're either driven by the wrong things, or they are not believing in themselves, or they think they have certain beliefs of something that's going to happen that stops them because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And what it is that we have to identify, because most of what we do is then psychological, we identify what it is in each individual case by offering a range of different options that they can do, what it is that is going to help them to become more centered and understand themselves a bit more and feel more calm in their decision making. So whether that's, for some people, it might be a simple thing of doing meditation to get some clarity. For other people, it might be having more of a routine. For other people, it might be just writing down what their actual goals are. For other people, it will be keeping a journal. But there's always just something that breaks down the barriers for someone and allows them to grow more. Then there's always something is restricting them.
So once you get past that,
then the money side of things just falls into place. And it's 80% psychological in trading, I'm telling you. 20% of the tools and techniques is less important than just having a completely grounded, centered approach for what you're doing and clarity, most importantly.
And you said, you know, 80% of trading is psychological. And even, you know, what you mentioned before, how powerful was about just, you said, if someone reaches out to you and they're looking in from the outside saying, oh, Nikki, it looks like you're working so much, you know, take a break, this or that, you know. And it's, when you think about it, it's the mind, the brain that we have between the ears, and it's even the words that we attach to it. Like you said,
you don't
see what you do as work. You see it's your calling, your passion in life. I think if we keep saying that, you know, it's okay to say the word work, you know, if you're talking to, hey, yeah, I'm at work right now, but.
Yeah.
If you keep saying that word work, you know, sometimes it can have it could have a negative connotation. It absolutely can have a positive thing, because when we think of work, we think of, you know, that we're providing for ourselves, for our family. But sometimes that word work can sound like very negative, you know, so it's definitely the words and the language we tell ourselves.
I think it's most people will, when you say something to them, they'll relate it to their own situation. So I think the statistic in the US in particular is that I think it's two-thirds of people or something like that, two-thirds of everyone in America is unhappy in their current job. So of course that means the majority of the people you're telling that you spend most of your time working are going to relate it to their own job where they're unhappy and think, why on earth does that person want to spend most of their time working when they're not going to be enjoying that? Whereas that other one third that is the minority will appreciate that you're working on something you enjoy. And those are the people that probably work longer hours. So I think, yeah, it's definitely, you know, how you associate things and definitely the words that you use. The self-talk is always a bad one, especially with trading. People, you know, telling themselves that they can't do something or that something's not enjoyable, it's going to end up being not enjoyable and they're going to end up not being able to do something just because they've told themselves enough times that that's the case.
Yep,
but
yep.
The thing you're saying about, sorry to jump from topics here, but the thing you said before about supporting a family, I think everyone to an extent puts pressure on themselves to support a family if they have their own family that they need to look after. But what you find out after a while, as long as you're stable, okay, as long as you can, you've got a roof over your head, you've got food to eat and everything, you can live comfortably, the rest of the stuff that everyone's striving to achieve, your family don't necessarily want that. Your family would maybe rather have you happy and content than constantly worrying about making more money to look after them, you know?
Yeah, no, so it's a powerful statement right there.
That's what we try and instill in all of our students with the Duomo Initiative. It's like, look, this is an opportunity that you can do what you want with this opportunity. It's like handing you the keys to a car, okay? You can go speeding down the motorway. You're going to put yourself at risk, but you'll get to where you want to be quicker. Or you can take it at a leisurely pace, enjoy the scenery around you, and you'll still get to your end destination, but you won't like risk killing yourself getting there. You know, you've got to enjoy the process. Like, it's a cliche these days, but you have to.
So true, Nicky. Definitely about enjoying the process. And man, so much gold that you just said right there. I'm going to ask you about the word trust, but we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Guys, we're at the end of today's episode, and Nicky, it's been absolutely just a pleasure coming on and talking about finances. It's not always an easy topic to discuss, and it's really just been great for me to hear some of your insights. So I'm really looking forward to chatting again tomorrow.
Fantastic. Look forward to it. I enjoyed it as well. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com, sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying the Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.